The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WinBet. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in game odds, WinBet has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party, April 1st, 7:30 p.m. SGP will be in the Ice House in Los Angeles, so come hang out with the crew. All the info you need is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Yes, sir. We are back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the voice, no the guy. It's me, Really Real, Villain Real, Terrell Furman Jr. here at your service. And it is a Friday in the association. So, you know, I got my guy Scott Studio Reichel. Scott, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. Looking forward to going through the games today. To be honest, I think everyone was distracted by college yesterday, which was a pretty good reason because you had two of the best games that I've seen in a while. The Michigan State game's an all-timer. I mean, that's one of the best March Madness games I've ever seen. The Gonzaga one was good. It was actually very good, but you also had one team that didn't score a basket for 11-plus minutes in the second half. So that might have taken away some of the all-time status, but that shot from the parking lot to win the game was crazy. The collapse was crazy. It was unreal down the stretch. I was rooting for UCLA. I had UCLA in my bracket. But still, two crazy college basketball games. Three, if you want to include the upset for Florida Atlantic and the UConn game, that wasn't even a game, so I'm not even going to count that. But still, yeah, just a lot of really good college basketball yesterday. That was really my main takeaway. The NBA itself was fine. The Nets found a way to blow a game, and now they are looking into probably being in the play-in. They have a huge head-to-head against Miami, but giving up a 12-2 run in the final minute 51 against Cleveland, give up an offensive rebound on a missed free throw, and you let Okoro hit a game winner. Brutal loss there for the Nets. Knicks had an excuse because Brunson didn't play, and they're on a back-to-back. But yeah, a couple of good games in the NBA, but mostly people were distracted by college, and rightfully so. That Michigan game, the Michigan State game, was an all-timer.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a really, really good game, and I'm so glad that we cashed Kansas State instead of Marquise Noel cashing his Michigan State money line bet that he clearly had towards the end of that game, taking three logo shots, a very, very ill-advised logo shots.
Are we sure possession. That one of them got tipped, by the way? Because I thought he airballed that one by 20
it did.
Feet.
Okay. When you see the replay, like, it's clear he tipped it. Like,
I couldn't tell if it tipped it or he gave him the high five on the release, which is no longer a foul in the NBA, and I just wasn't sure if that was the case. But yeah, on the bright side though, with Norwell, he ended up setting the all-time record for most assists in a single March Madness.
He had Michigan State money line. I don't care what nobody say. He had Michigan State.
He had like 19 assists.
You're 5'6", and you're taking three logo shots in the most critical time of the game. Like,
I made a joke about the review, by the way. I said that Michigan State should automatically get the ball because Norwell took the same terrible shot three times in a row.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Either way, I'll tell you what,
he really was trying to blow it.
Tang's a hell of a coach. I'm not sure if he's going to end up in the NBA at some point, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does because that guy can coach.
Yeah. I hope he's one of those college coaches that just they know they have their niche. Like, everybody can't make the transition.
He could.
I'm not saying he can't, but you know, sometimes I don't know. I like to see good college coaches like have those longevity. And Tang is one of those guys that he could have longevity as a really, really good coach and win national titles. Hell, he could win a national title this year. He's in contention. So
he won me over a couple of weeks ago, but then he had the fake argument with Norwell into a lob in the middle of overtime, which is they ran the longest yard play in the middle of overtime in a Sweet 16 game, which is unreal. But yeah, Tang's a hell of a coach. I can't believe Izzo kept Hauser in the game for so long. Guy couldn't guard anybody in pick and roll switches, and they were just picking on him the entire second half. And they just didn't take Hauser out of the game. Like, I just thought Izzo was really not that good down the stretch. Tang was. Very good win for Kansas State.
All right, enough of the college basketball experience here. before we get into the NBA slate, got to talk to you about the presenting sponsor and official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and that is WinBet. Now active in Massachusetts, Boston, folks, you can bet on your Celtics tonight if you want to with WinBet, and be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each and every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, where you can get the marquee game of the week for the best odds, giving you a larger payout. March Madness is here, so you can bet it at WinBet. Sign up today and receive a special offer. Bet $100. Get $100 limited to state availability. And, of course, don't forget the biggest long shot parlay of the week. If you hit the longest parlay of the week, you can get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to head over to WinBet.com and download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WinBet.com. A sweet 21 older and present state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we are going to have a Final Four watch party. SGP is at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, California, Saturday, April 1st, 7:30. Get all the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse and join us to watch the Final Four. And if you don't want to watch Final Four, join us for the Masters, because Sean and Ryan are watching the Masters at Stadium Swim in Las Vegas, and you can win a free 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas and hang out with the guys. Contest completely free to enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room. SGP15 is that promo code. So if you don't get the free room, get a discounted room. SGP15, and join the fellas in Vegas to watch the Masters. All right, Scott, we have a huge 10-game slate.
By the way, I'm still a big fan of how we are so programmed to reading the old WinBet read that we have to do like a double take every time. It was the same read for like a year, and then they switched.
They changed it, and they changed the link. They was like, no more Sports Gambling Podcast link. We're just gonna go throw out the regular WinBet link. And I'm like, all right. And you think it's easy until you're reading, and you just say it. You just say it naturally, because everything else is the same. Everything is the same, but that one part.
I had the same thing happen to me in the tennis podcast. I had to
make
the transition.
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. I hate it. All right. Yeah, the Raptors. Very tough loss. Very, very tough loss. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll talk. But they were also laying double digits on a back-to-back.
They closed double digits in the end?
Yeah, I think so. I think it closed at 10. So, yeah, that is not a good look there. All right. First game on board, 7 p.m. on the East Coast slate. We have the Indiana Pacers going to play the Boston Celtics. Line opened up at 11.5, now up to 12 for minus 12 for the Boston Celtics. 234.5 is the total. That total's come up 2 points. Injury report for these two teams, and we have for the Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton is questionable. Chris Duarte is questionable. Everybody else suspected to go. For the Boston Celtics, you have Peyton Pritchard doubtful. Doesn't look like he's playing. Robert Williams is still coming off the bench, and they're having him in his yearly off the bench minutes restriction. So expect that role for Robert Williams in this game. Scott, because I think it's obvious where I'm going, but for you, you have minus 12 with Boston and TD Garden. One emphasis on TD Garden in there. What are you doing?
So the Pacers have been better recently in the first quarter, but I think that's probably where I'm going to lean, just because I do think on a back-to-back, Indiana might come out flat having to travel. They were just in Canada. Now they're traveling to Boston. It's not exactly a good scheduling spot. There are rumors that Haliburton might play. I'll believe it when I see it, but we'll just keep that in mind. It's a lot of points. Boston's been such a streaky team, and when they're on, they win a lot of games by a lot of points, but when they're off, they underachieve, and they let other teams that are beneath them hang around. So it wouldn't surprise me if Boston wins this game comfortably, but on principle, I think I'm leaning to Indiana. The problem is, we've noticed in the NBA for the last week or so, a lot of the double-digit favorites, like most of them, have covered pretty easily. And a lot of it has to do with bottom feeder teams, like the Rockets. I know they covered against Memphis, and we like them to cover against Memphis. They actually play again later tonight. But for the most part, the Spurs, I mean, they could be getting 30, and I wouldn't even take them plus 30 at this point. But a lot of the double-digit underdogs have just gotten killed for the past week. So if you've been blindly betting the underdog, getting these points, you've been getting destroyed for the last week or so. I think I have to lean to Indiana, but I am a bit concerned. that Boston beating up on Sacramento. I know Sacramento is a bit shorthanded, but still, they beat up on Sacramento. They have looked better lately. It would not surprise me if Boston wins this game comfortably. My favorite play is the over. I see a bunch of points in this game. I don't think Indiana is going to stop Boston at all. The last game they had went to overtime, and Boston won, but it was still a very high-scoring game. I'm on the over as my favorite play. I don't see much defense being played here. We know that Indiana is going to force the pace. So I'm on the over. If I had to pick a side, I guess I'd lean Indiana, but it's mostly hoping Boston opens up a big lead. Then they kind of play with their food in the fourth quarter, and maybe Indiana makes a backdoor cover out of it. But my favorite play is the over. I see a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's about the same thing that I'm thinking. I'm on Indiana, and I like the over. We talk about Indiana past five games, 122 points per game. Only teams that are worse than that in the NBA are the Atlanta Hawks, Minnesota Timberwolves, Golden State Warriors. Crazy that the Warriors are in this category. And the San Antonio Spurs. So they're historically bad defense. I think that they'll give up a bunch of points. And what honestly, truly should be like a get-up spot for Boston. Boston, they're in a battle for this two seed right now.
Even besides the two seed, I mean, you mentioned the actual seeding. They're trying to win the division.
Yeah. Yeah, you still are. You're trying to win the division as well. Yeah, so I think it's definitely a lot of motivation here for this. But this Indiana team just doesn't quit. They're not quitting. And it looks like that because I don't think Halliburton played last night.
No, I don't believe he did.
And so Halliburton, you're getting a fresh Halliburton in there. Duarte, I don't think Duarte played last night either. So he's coming in there a little bit fresh. I still see some scoring options and playmaking by Halliburton. And he gets up for spots like this. Like, you're playing one of the best teams in the East. Tyrese Halliburton gets up for spots like this. So I think that this is a good spot where Boston going to have a little bit of revenge on their mind after getting embarrassed the last time they played this team. And Miles Turner, well, they didn't get embarrassed, but it should have been a blowout and Miles Turner dropped 40. They still got the win, but it didn't look pretty at all. And that was kind of like part of the catalyst of that ugly run that they had going on where they were losing like three or four or five of their last six games, something like that. And so I can see motivation on both these teams. It's a lot of points. I think it's a little closer than what the line is saying. So I'm going to go with Indiana plus 12. But that over that you said, I really, really like that over. I don't think that Indiana stopping anything Boston has going on. And I don't think that Boston's going to commit enough in the second half defensively where they're not going to let Indiana score a bunch of easy points and push this total over. So I love the 234.5. I might bet that today, actually.
I think Boston could score 130. I think that Indiana could score 115. You might get both. So I'm on the over.
All right. And props. It is Miles Turner's birthday today.
I got to take him anyway, right? He had 40 last time they played.
He did. And I just think that 25 is not outside the realm of possibility for Miles Turner. Like, it truly is not. And you're talking about staggered Robert Williams minutes, and even without staggered Robert, he was giving Robert Williams the business last time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gave him not just the drugs, he gave him the whole medicines cabinet. So, yeah, Miles Turner points. I'm not on the rebounds, though. I just can't. I can't bet Miles Turner rebounds. He goes really soft for rebounds for me. So, and the fact that he's like active defensively, so he's not in position for a lot of rebounds. I'll take the points, and that's how I play his birthday game. But what else do you like?
Well, I was going to ask you, since you mentioned the points, do you want to do a same-game parlay with his threes as well, or don't even bother? That's kind of how he killed Boston last time out. He just went crazy from three.
And I think they could. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. It's his birthday.
So that was just an option. Halliburton assists if he plays. I don't know if he's going to play or not. There's no line for that right now. I think I'm on Tatum in the spot. Mm-hmm. I know it's a 30.5. He had a 36 piece against Sacramento. The problem with Tatum is that he's extremely streaky as well, which it kind of makes sense why he's the best player on this team, because I think they have the same flaws. Like, you want them to be a bit more consistent, and when it's good, it's really good. But when it's bad, it's really, really bad. And Tatum has some brutal games where he can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But I think he's in good form now. So I think Tatum could potentially go for 40 in this game. It wouldn't totally surprise me. I think I like Tatum over. I'm pretty sure he had a good game against Indiana last time out. He also had the dagger putback, I think, in overtime in that game. But I'm going to go with Tatum. I think that he's going to have a massive game tonight. Potential 40-piece. I don't mind the threes. But it seems like he got back on track against Sacramento after having a terrible stretch for a week or two there. I think he keeps it rolling at home. Give me a Tatum masterclass performance tonight.
Yeah, you
and
go
potentially
Tatum.
Brown too. I think both can go nuts.
No, yeah, that's what I was. So that's what I was going to do. I said you're going Tatum. I'm going to go Jaylen Brown. I get, you know, 4 points of a less number and essentially, I wouldn't say the same player, but just as good as Jason Tatum, I think. And I mean, both of these guys are streaky. Like, you never know what you're going to get from either one of them, honestly. But I think that this is a matchup where both of them say, hey, we can exploit this at home and we can go out here and really have a good finish to the season because they really fell off after All-Star break. And I know they're disappointed in how they look after the All-Star break. So I think both of them rise to the occasion and say, hey, let's have a really good strong end to the season. So I'm,
I'm just
like
trying to see if there's any other props that I might like.
I don't see anything for Indiana. And, you know, for good reason, Halliburton, you need to know Halliburton's status before
they also played yesterday.
Everybody else at. Oh, and they played yesterday. Yeah, forgot about that. I actually see some three-point props up here, though. Yeah, some people that have three-point props.
I saw somebody was mentioning Horford before.
Two and a half
threes for him is plus 124. If the argument's that Turner is going to be standing in the paint the entire time, then Horford might get some looks in the corner. I guess that's an argument.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not feeling Horford today. I'm good on Horford.
I think I like the Tatum over. Tatum's a 3.5. I could really see Tatum having a huge game tonight.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Before we get into the next game, I got to talk to you quick about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get on the action, especially because everybody's bracket is busted. So you can go in there and still have good, fun ways to play in their College Pick'em contest. They have player props. And you can still tap into the NBA if you want to in Underdog. You can tap into the NBA. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com. Promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Let's
By the way, we forgot Indiana actually did not play yesterday. The Toronto game was the day before.
Oh, okay.
I forgot that there were only four games on the NBA card yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about it. Didn't we talk? Yeah, we talked about that game. Yeah, that's why. It was yesterday for us. All right. San Antonio Spurs are in Washington, D.C. to play the Washington Wizards. Line opened up at 6.5, now up to 8 for the Wizards. Minus 8. 228 is the total. That's come down from 234.5. Injury report for these two teams. And we have the San Antonio Spurs. Keldon Johnson is probable with a neck injury. Zach Collins is questionable with the bicep injury. Devin Vassell is questionable via injury management. Jeremy Sochan is out for injury management. Trey Jones is probable for injury management. Devontae Graham is probable. Man, Devontae Graham and Doug McDermott both probable for injury management. Romeo Langford is out. I mean, they keep saying injury management. They should really just put tanking. And for the Washington Wizards, well, looky here. Bradley Beal and Kyle Kuzma are both out for this game with knee and ankle injuries, respectively. So, is the Kristaps Porzingis show today? Laying 8 with Washington without Beal, without Kuzma.
So, San Antonio has lost 2 straight games by at least 35 points. However, if you look at their actual roster projection for this game, a decent amount of starters are actually expected to play in this game. Uh-huh. Trey Jones is probable. I see Keldon Johnson supposed to play. Vassell's questionable. Collins is a maybe, so we'll see. The question is, we talk a lot about teams that are tanking and just the potential emotional issues that teams are having if they're not exactly playing for much. Uh-huh. What is Washington playing for? They just lost to Orlando. Their playoff hopes are basically over. They're not going to make the play-in.
I think they want to lose.
I was going to say, like, are we sure Washington's fully... Like, they're benching Beal potentially for the rest of the year because they know that their hopes are screwed. And the Orlando loss was kind of the nail in the coffin there.
You're 1.5 game back from a top five, like a secure top five pick. 1.5 games and you get a top five pick.
And once again, to remind everybody, the odds for the top two or three picks in the NBA lottery are the same percentage. So it's not like it really matters if San Antonio wins this game or not. They're going to have the same percentage to get Wembanyama as the Rockets or even the Pistons or any of those teams.
I think Washington has more. Yeah, Washington has more reason to tank. Like they at least they're trying to get better odds and get a top five pick. San Antonio's locked into the top three, or well, not top three, but like locked into the top three best.
Top three odds for the
But I'm pretty sure like after you do the calculations and stuff, if the Magic finish above the Wizards are locked into a top five pick, or no matter how the balls fall, and that is huge. And I mean, it's clear that they're trying to do it. They're sitting Beal. So if we just look at the rosters, I'll take Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell over anybody not named Kristaps Porzingis on that Wizards roster right now.
And just to read off the projected starting lineup for Washington, Monte Morris, Corey Kispert, Denny Avdia, Porzingis, and Gafford. That team's like laying 8 points in the NBA.
Like who are you taking outside of Porzingis over Vassell and Johnson?
I'm not an Avdia points guy, but I actually could see Avdia having like a pretty solid rebounding and assist game, but he's not exactly a great offensive player. I have no idea. Take Kispert threes blindly and hope Kispert goes nuts? Like, I can't lay 8 points with that starting lineup. I can't do it. I'm going to have to leave to San Antonio, and they might come up later for the dog, but we'll see.
Sprinkle on the money line because Washington's not good, guys.
I wouldn't even rush this, to be honest. San Antonio losing two straight games by 35-plus points, and nobody's going to sprint to the winner to bet on this team. But I really think Washington might be actively punting, as you said before. Yeah. So I'm not taking the Wizards.
Yeah. All right. And because the Beal out and Kuzma out and all the other uncertainty with San Antonio, this line has dropped from 234.5 to 228.
I think I have to lean to the under. I know San Antonio's defense isn't great. The offense has been bad too, but we just went through Washington's entire team. You're relying on Monte Morris or Kispert to go nuts. You're assuming Porzingis walks into 30. There's no guarantee for that either. Is Porzingis' minutes going to get limited? Maybe. If they're actually trying to lose, I don't know if he's going to play a full workload here. I think I have to go with the under.
Man, if San Antonio gets out, this is one of those San Antonio first half plays for me again. But yeah, like, if San Antonio gets out early and they build a lead, they're going to pack it in. Like, they're not fighting back in this game. They're going to pack it in. I'd rather take the chance with the +8 and the plus money. And yeah, give me the under 228. I kind of want to go. Part of me wants to go over because I hate closing line value and stuff like this, but I'll go under because it just feels like such an under game.
Well, I think there's two ways for the under to hit. Either the Wizards look underwhelming offensively because they are missing two of their best three weapons, or you have the Spurs who can barely break 90 points in the last two games and they continue to suck offensively. And then if one of those teams struggles, you win. So you have several ways to cash the under here. I'm going to go with the under.
All right. Props.
You blindly going Porzingis? I don't know who else is going to shoot on this team. He's been good lately. Killed Orlando.
Porzingis threes. I've been giving out Porzingis threes for a while. He's been
numbers
consistently
low, usually.
Yeah. 1.5 sometimes. Maybe 2.5 at plus money. Porzingis threes, another angle I like, but I'm going to my guys that always hold it down for us on the Spurs side of ball, and that is Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell.
Assuming Vassell plays. I like Johnson as well.
If Vassell doesn't play, then I'm pivoting to Branham.
That's fair. Zach Collins might not play. As everybody knows, I'm aboard the Mamukashvili train, and he's done pretty well for points. So I'd look for him over if you get a number on him. Scoff at it all you want. Guy's been putting up double digits. He's been actually putting in some work. But I'm trying to think of what else I want to do here because I was blindly considering Avdia double-double, And I've roasted Avdija for most of the year because I don't think he's a very good basketball player. But based on the usage he should be getting in this game and the fact that Gafford gets into foul trouble all the time and Avdija has been good on the glass, double-doubles plus 215, which sounds a little bit low, but I'm wondering if I'm better off just taking the rebounds instead of the points, because the last two games he had 15 and 16, but he went 5-for-6 from the floor and 7-of-9 from the floor. So I'm not exactly sold on him keeping up that high percentage for a guy who's only going to attempt 9 shots tops. Might go up now, but the point is, I do think if you want to go for a sneaky prop here, I don't mind Avdija 10-plus rebounds at around plus 185.
Okay. Dang, I feel like it should be more than plus 185.
But I think it should too, but I think that's also telling. I think that they're expecting Avdija to get a lot of minutes and to grab boards.
And what's his double-double price?
It's like plus 215.
Okay.
I'd rather save the 30 cents because, once again, if he's going to attempt 9 shots tops and the only reason why he's gone over is because he's shooting 80% from the floor, I'd rather pivot and only take the rebounds. But we know Porzingis isn't exactly aggressive on the glass.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you. I like it. Next game on the slate, we have the Detroit Pistons going to play the Toronto Raptors. Toronto's laying 14.5. That's come up from 12.5 to 14.5. 224 is the total in this one. Injury report for the Pistons. And you have Jalen Duran, who is not on the injury report. Isaiah Livers is probable. Alec Burks, Rodney Magruder are both out. And then you know that Isaiah Stewart, Bojan, Hamidou Diallo, all pretty much shut down for the rest of the year. And for the Toronto Raptors, you have Scottie Barnes questionable with a wrist injury, Gary Trent Jr. questionable with the elbow, Precious Achiuwa questionable with the hamstring, Joe Wieskamp questionable with the hamstring as well, Banton is out, so depth pieces, but Gary Trent and Scottie Barnes are the names to really, and Precious Achiuwa, honestly, are the names to really pay attention to because they did not practice Thursday after missing the Wednesday game. So no game Wednesday, no practice Thursday. We'll see what they look like today. Are we really laying 14.5 with a team with this many question marks? I mean, I know it's the Pistons, but seriously.
So I'm looking up the history of these teams. And yes, I know it can vary depending on how good the teams are year by year. But Toronto's been a steady
Dwayne Casey. It's Dwayne Casey. That's the tweet. That's the tweet. Nothing else say. Dwayne Casey.
Do you know the last time Toronto beat Detroit by at least 15 points? How many meetings has it been since it's happened?
I mean, it has to be at some point when Dwayne Casey was head coach, because Dwayne Casey's been busting their ass with the Pistons. And even when he's losing close.
Detroit has covered 14.5 against Toronto in 17 straight meetings.
I mean,
17. Games this season, if you want to just go by how bad Detroit's been. They've played three times. Toronto's won all three. They won by 4, they won by 1, they won by 4. Before that, Detroit won 6 straight. Outright. 6 straight against Toronto.
That's what the fuck Toronto gets for firing Dwayne Casey when he won Coach of the Year. Very, very, like, very, very rough firing. I understand.
Getting fired after Coach of the Year is still crazy. But
And the fact is, he got fired because of LeBron. Mm-hmm. He didn't get fired because of him. He got fired because LeBron. Because LeBron was busting their ass every single year in the playoffs, and they couldn't get past him. And then they ended up blowing the team up, starting over. And yeah, they won a championship. But man, that is brutal. And so,
I'm on Detroit.
I don't even know why. Who is betting Toronto in this spot?
It's another example of a team that's tanking, and once again, if you blindly back the double-digit favorites, you've done well, but Toronto's not going to be one of them. The argument is, well, they just lost to Indiana. They're still competing for a play-in spot. You know, maybe they'll show up. Detroit, for some reason, has given them problems for several years.
Dwayne Casey has gone into that locker room, and I don't know if you've seen the video. I think it's like of a foreign soccer team or something. And the guy goes and he slaps every player on the team.
Like Russia. Yeah.
Yes. That is literally what Dwayne Casey does to them before the Toronto game, every single game. Like, they are so locked into the Toronto game. every single time. I mean, it doesn't matter what lineup they have. Would you be surprised if Killian Hayes probably goes out here and scores 20 tonight? Just because it's Toronto. And Dwayne Casey slapped him up before the game and said, hey, I need you to learn how to shoot the ball today. I just, there's no way I'm ever laying this amount of points with Toronto against the Pistons. Like,
based on historical trends as well, no matter how bad Detroit has been, they've always gotten up for Toronto. You mentioned Dwayne Casey, maybe even before it was Dwayne Casey, but Toronto's always had issues, and I'm not going to back a team that can't beat Indiana at home outright without Haliburton to win by 15-plus points. I can't do it. Give me the Pistons.
Pistons plus 14.5. Pistons sprinkle on the money line. It's so simple for this one. I cannot imagine everybody is betting Toronto. Like, I just don't know how you could see them playing the Pistons and say, I'm going to go to Toronto.
It's all fun and games betting Toronto until you see Van Vliet take 14 shots in the first half, and suddenly you're reevaluating your entire life. So it happened in the Indiana game. Went 4-for-14 in the first half. Why is Van Vliet taking 14 shots and a half? I have no idea. But whatever. Yeah, I'm on Detroit. For the total, I'm up in the air on this one. I think I'm going to lean under. I don't feel great about the total, so I think I'm just going to stay away, but I feel better about the spread. You have any thoughts on the total?
I keep forgetting to pull up a ref report.
Oh, you're looking for one guy, right?
No, he's gone. That's what I'm saying. They said he's gone. But I keep forgetting to keep taking that and putting in that into our total handicap, because that's actually like a really good big addition. So let me go ahead. We have John Goebel, Mitchell Irvin, and Matt Myers for the refs tonight.
Goebel's a little bit on the underside because his points per game is. Yeah, I mean it's not that special. Let me just see.
Here we go. I got it pulled up right here. And so Goebel is 37-48 against the spread, not against the spread, but 37-48 to the over, so 48-37 to the under. Yeah, he's an under ref for sure. All right, and he's the crew chief tonight. You have, let's see what Irvin is.
You look up Irvin, I'll look up Myers.
Irvin is 33-24. So there's an over one there. Do you have Myers or
can I? I don't have the spread, or I don't have the over under.
23-23.
I'm just going to look up the actual points per game that it's. He's only done 46 games.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. But either way, I think I'm on the under here.
Goebel being a crew chief, like it gives me under vibe. So I'm fine with the under with that.
So does that mean we're blindly taking like Wiseman and Poeltl rebounds because we're expecting a lot of bricks in this game?
Absolutely. Maybe throw in Bagley in there. Well, because Durant's in there, but he's going to probably come off the bench. He still should get some. He should really get like some really good minutes coming off the bench, with probably alternating off the floor with Jakob Poeltl. And yeah, because who else is really when Durant's in the game coming off the bench? Who else is really combating him for boards? We should look at his double-double today. It's probably not out now, but we can probably get it later. And it's probably going to be an inflated line because he's coming off the bench for this game, or at least projected to come off the bench. And well, there's the really nobody.
Are the minutes decent for Durin off the bench?
Yeah. It's like regular off the bench. Like, it's not like he had a minutes restriction when he was playing. It's just he was coming off the bench instead of starting.
All right. He missed the last game with a neck injury, but he's back. So I'm going to ignore the Miami game because he played 9 minutes because he hurt his neck. Played 27 minutes, 18 minutes, 24, 20, 21. The minutes aren't great, but you look at the numbers, 15-13, 9-8, 12-11, 16-11, 8-9. You might be on to something. He's been close despite not playing many minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna get a good number on him when they drop his props, and we can hit him over the head for that. So I really do like that today.
If it's anywhere north of like 5-1, I'll probably throw it in a long shot parlay.
Yeah, I agree. All right. And you know I'm on the Wiseman train. Everybody knows I'm on the Wiseman train. I really like Wiseman.
He's good. He's just a bad fit for Golden State.
Yeah. And I mean, when it happened, people said I was crazy. Golden State needs a big, so they was smart for them to draft Wiseman. I was like, I don't know. I probably just would have took my shot on LaMelo, honestly.
Like, you know how hard it is to actually like find a center that can play the Golden State way with all the off-ball movement and all of it? It's really, really difficult to find it.
It's got to be a veteran. It can't be a young guy. It has to be a veteran.
And you have to be able to switch on everybody on defense. That's extremely difficult to find.
Yeah. All right. And that's why Looney, you know, has been there for so long.
Yeah.
All right. Next game on the slate, we have the Houston Rockets going to play the Memphis Grizzlies in part two. Was the other one in Memphis, too, or was that one in Houston?
I'm pretty sure they were both in Memphis.
Yeah, it was in Memphis. Okay. So we had this game on Wednesday when we broke down, and it was.
We were both all over Houston.
Yep, it was 12 points in that one. Game finished 130-125 Memphis. It was a close game the whole way. That 12 was never in doubt. We were actually waiting on the money line, honestly. This time is 13. Opened at 13, stayed true to 13. Line for the total stayed the same as well, 233.5. Injury report for these two teams, and we have for the Houston Rockets. Jashante is out, as always. Frank Kaminsky is on this team. I didn't even know that. But he has a migraine, so he's questionable. And, I mean, I'm not playing with no migraine. And for
Neither was Scottie Pippen in Game 7, so it's fine.
For Memphis, Dylan Brooks suspended. He's available. He's coming off that suspension for that tech. Does Dylan Brooks get another suspension for Texas this season? They have how many games left?
The answer is yes, but the only question is which game is he going to have?
They have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games left. Yeah, he probably gets suspended again.
I assume he's going to, because even though there's a bunch of theatrics involved and you could say that it's cheesy and how you don't like him as a player, they've been winning. So whatever he's doing, I don't know if it's actually contributing or anything, but you know, if they're trying to regain some for the regular toughness, season, it's working, I guess.
Until he gets into the playoffs.
Dylan Brooks' mind, him getting ejected might be the reason why this team is winning. So he's going to keep doing it, you know?
I mean, as long as when we get into the playoffs and they're up single possession with 30 seconds left, Dylan Brooks isn't taking that shot, I mean, I don't have any issue. Zaire Williams is out.
There's a certain amount of narcissism involved with Brooks where he can do all this stuff and he thinks he's the reason or the catalyst why the team has been winning. He's not going to change anything. He'll keep doing the same thing he's been doing.
Zaire Williams and Vince Williams are both out for this game. And Steven Adams is set to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. So we'll see if he'll make it for the playoffs. But basically, he's done for the regular season. All right. Ja played off the bench last game. I don't know if he's coming back into the starting lineup this game, so I can't really give you a handicap on that.
Even if he doesn't, he only played 24 minutes. So you're assuming a worst-case scenario, bump it up to 30?
Yeah, but he pretty much. We'll see what happens with Ja, but Dylan Brooks is definitely back in the starting lineup. All right, a little bit of a different situation here. Yeah. 13, what are you doing?
First of all, shout out to Kevin Porter Jr., who had a casual triple-double that not enough of people talked about in the last game. Uh-huh. It's going to be different now that Brooks is back. You can roast Brooks all you want for being an overrated player. Or I can't even say he's overrated because everyone just hates him now. He's still probably their best on-ball defender on the perimeter. So I don't think Houston's going to have that easy of an offensive game as they had last time out, because Green did whatever he wanted, Porter did a triple-double. Uh-huh. The offense looked very good for Houston, which we thought was going to be the case, because Brooks, we've seen the Grizzlies without Brooks, and they can't guard anybody. So Memphis, I think, should have a very good game, but it's still a lot of points. Uh-huh. And Memphis have had a hard time of fully trusting to bury teams when they can. They also let teams hang around a bit late in games. Their half-court offense isn't great, which is why a lot of people don't like them in the playoffs, because if the pace slows down and they're not in transition, they don't look good in the half-court. I think I'm going to lean to Houston. It's a lot of points. I'm not saying that Houston's going to win the game, but I do think they showed last time out they can compete with Memphis. That's good enough for me. If you're getting double digits and I know you're going to compete, I'm going to take you. I'll lean Houston. Give me an 8-point loss.
I am very conflicted. I do think that this game plays a different script because that last game was competitive from start to finish.
And defensively, you're assuming Memphis will be better because Brooks is back in the lineup.
Yes. And so I think I want to play the Grizzlies early and play them in the first quarter, getting 4.5 right now. It's a little bit large for a first quarter number, but I think that they come out and they really impose themselves, especially like, and I really feel better about it if Ja starts. I don't know if they're going to keep going with him coming off the bench or not, but I feel a lot better about it.
You're talking about the home first half
play? Yeah, first quarter, first half play. Looking at that first half minus 8 kind of turned me off, so I just decided to go to the first quarter instead. They're still 8-2 to the first quarter of their last 10 home games. Last 10 road games for the Houston Rockets, they are 5-5 to the number in the first quarter, so I like my chances with that first quarter minus 4.5. Hopefully, we'll see what Ja. I may change my tune if Ja is coming off the bench, but if he's starting, then I feel pretty confident about that first quarter play for sure. However, for the game, this just screams Memphis gets out to 20 plus lead and they get bored. Foot off the gas. You're missing a lot of depth pieces at this point for Memphis. You're missing Vince Williams. You're missing Zaire Williams. You're missing Brandon Clark, who's done for the year. Adams, that destroys things. So Tillman is probably getting more minutes with the starting unit, and then you're missing a depth piece there. So you're leaning on Roddy to make sure that he holds things down, you know, coming down, who's been playing pretty decent. But I think
I like Roddy. I was a fan of him at Louisiana. I was at
Colorado State.
He was at Colorado State. I was thinking, Lofton. You're thinking of Lofton. From Louisiana Tech, yeah.
But, yeah, no. So I just think the depth pieces, when it gets to the point where they start pulling the starters, that's when the backdoor cover comes. So I don't like it, but I'll take the plus 13 with Houston for the full game. But I really, really like that first quarter number right now. And right now, that's my play for the game.
I think my favorite play, the more that I think about it, is probably Memphis team total over.
Okay.
I really don't see Houston getting many stops. We just saw Memphis go for 130 against this team. Ja's probably going to play more minutes. Might even start. We'll see what happens there. But you look at the three meetings this season, scored 129 in the first meeting, 113 in the second meeting, not great, but scored 130 in the third meeting. So they've scored at least 129 in two of the three meetings, and Memphis is 31-5 at home. I think Grizzlies team total over is probably worth a look.
Yeah, I like it. Aaron's also adding in the chat, Grizzlies are 5-1 ATS, their last six games following an ATS loss. That's a really good stat. Great, great pull on that one. So good, more fuel for the fire for that 13. I think my only concern is that there's a lot of Memphis money coming on Memphis, and the line hasn't moved up at all. Like normally when you see all the money poured in on Toronto game, and that went up 2 points already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of makes me nervous that this line is staying true at 13. I would love to see this at least get 13.5 and make me feel like somebody sharp is betting Memphis, but it just seems like the public is on Memphis. All right. 233.5. Yeah, it's the Memphis team total. Like at the very least, I feel comfortable about Memphis scoring. I don't know what form of Houston we're going to get.
I'm trying to see if I could find a very, very fun. You mentioned the bench double-double for Durin last game. I'm trying to see if I could find a Ja double-double. What if he just comes out 28 minutes, 20 points, 10 assists?
And 10 assists. Yeah, I'd like it. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be out, especially because they don't – I mean, once they announce, hey, he's starting, or hey, he's coming off the bench, and Taylor Jenkins is going to do that at some course of the game, then they'll give us his props and we'll get a better number. But if either way, I think we just play Ja double-double regardless.
Yeah, I don't see a prop on him, unfortunately. So I'll wait and see if I can get it. All right. Do you like Jaren Jackson double-double at plus 340?
I can't get on his rebounds, man. I cannot get there on his rebounds.
Tillman double-double is 12-1.
Tillman just feels like the guy that everybody bets for a double double on this team, and he just never gets there.
Yeah, pretty much. But he did have.
I'm back on Aldama. I'm going back to Aldama double double. I called it the other day. What game was it? Somebody tell me what game it was that I called Aldama double double. I can't remember. Maybe was it this game? No, it wasn't this game. What was the game that Ja missed? That last game that they won that Ja missed.
John missed a lot of games.
Oh my gosh.
Let me just quickly see which game it was. Golden State. It was against the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. It was the Mavericks game because the Mavericks had no front court. Yeah. Aldama's big guy, hangs around the rim. He's always in position, you know, when Triple J is out there, he gets a block or anything. He kind of falls with the rebounds. I'm back on Aldama rebounds again. I don't like Tillman. Tillman just doesn't get there. Like
he should, to be honest. But
yeah, he should, but he doesn't get there. I think that his contribution doesn't show up on a stat sheet, whereas Aldama, it does, and it shows up in the rebound category. So I'll be back on Aldama when they drop his props later in the day because he's coming off the bench. It's normally at like 6.5, 7.5, something like that. All right. Anything else for this one?
No, I don't see much. If you want to go for player props, it really could go in a variety of ways, depending on if you think Memphis pulls all the starters at some point or if you think that Houston makes it competitive or they get blown out. So tread a little bit carefully in this game, but I still think you'll end up seeing Memphis probably score 125 points, probably more.
They're saying Jalen Green points. My concern for that is the fact that Dylan Brooks is back in this game. And I have to assume that that's where Dylan Brooks' matchup is going to be this game with Jalen Green.
Even if you don't like Brooks, you have to account for it.
Yeah, and so even if he's only getting matched up with him half the game, that's still going to be like very disruptive. So I don't know if I'm 100%. I haven't been a Jalen Green better, honestly. Jalen Green reminds me of Fred VanVleet a lot, and just the inconsistency shooting the ball. But he can put up points, so it's like. He's always good for 35, but is he going to hit his shots to get to the 35?
He'll keep shooting. So there's that.
I like Jabari Smith rebounds, though. He's been doing good on the glass, and this is a plus matchup with, again, we just talked about all the uncertainty of who was rebounding the ball for the Grizzlies. Jabari Smith has done really, really good. Shangoon should have a good, like, they should be able to get rebounds in this game as well. So I like those players.
I want to actually look up Jaren Jackson points really quickly before I forgot.
Because he's been going crazy.
He's been going nuts. He's had at least 25 points in 5 straight games. He had 37 last game, 28 game before that, 31 against Golden State. I'm assuming his number's going to be high, but mm-hmm. I do want to at least acknowledge it before I move on. His points number is, I don't even see it. That's fantastic. Okay. Let me check another book. I don't know why they wouldn't have him listed. Like, he's clearly going to play in this game. Sorry, I just pulled.
It's probably the jaw effect. Let's see. I have for Jackson 21.5 at minus 104.
Okay. I mean, he's at 25 plus in 5 straight.
Yeah.
At 37 last game.
If Jaws has a minutes restriction, he should still get the usage.
Yep. I'm just going to throw that out there, though. Jaren Jackson points is probably worth at least consideration.
I would rather bet on Jaren Jackson Jr. than Xavier Tillman.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Tillman I mentioned for the 12-1, but then I looked at his stats, and he starts on paper. He doesn't actually
play that much. Yeah. All right. Next game on the... how many games we got left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, no.
We got time for one more.
Yeah, let's do. All right. Charlotte Hornets are going to play the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. Dallas opened up as a 12-point favorite. Mm-hmm. And they have moved to 14.5.
Do we need to mention anything else besides Dallas laying 14 points at home? Or could we just wrap it up from that?
No, we can actually really finish this really quickly. But to go through the theatrics and the buildup to what our pick is, well, everybody knows, but what the pick is going to be. 227.5 is the total. That's come up from 225.5. Injury report for these two teams. And we have for the Charlotte Hornets, going to be see a lot of TBDs because they played yesterday where they were actually competitive in that game for like 3 quarters, I think. At one point, I remember looking at the score. I was score watching. I wasn't watching. But I remember looking at the score. It was like 78, 74. Like, it was a really close game. And then next thing I look up, it's like 104, 80-something. I'm like, whew, that took a turn.
They got better. They didn't score basically any points in the first half of the fourth quarter. They got absolutely smacked. They only scored 15 in the fourth. Yeah, got outscored by 12 in the fourth. So the game was competitive for 3 quarters. Yeah.
All right. You know, no LaMelo, Mark Williams, or Corey Martin. But TBDs on Dennis Smith Jr., Kelly Oubre, and Terry Rozier. For the Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie Irving is questionable. Tim Hardaway Jr. is questionable. I don't see anything here for Luka, so it looks like he's going to play in this game.
But Luka played last game. The question is Kyrie, because he also sat against Golden State.
And Tim Hardaway Jr. sat as well.
Yeah.
All right. I still can't do it.
Of course, I can't. I can't do it either.
15-30-2 as a favorite this season. 13-22-2 at home this season against the spread. And if we go and look at their numbers as a home favorite, they are, let's see, where are you? Oh, yeah, just go to the bottom. 10-19-2 as a home favorite this season. I mean, this is like Miami Heat level territory here. Yeah. I can't do it.
I'm on Charlotte.
Just give me the 14.5. Charlotte figures out something from that game yesterday, and they come out here and they give the Mavericks a game. And Luka probably has to do some Luka-like things, especially if you're not getting Kyrie or Tim Hardaway Jr.
I'm hoping Kyrie doesn't play because I think Luka's going to walk into 40. So I'll probably bet something involving Luka if Kyrie's out. There's one guy that I really, really want to bet, but I have to wait to see if they release the numbers. I'm sure you know who it is. It's my boy, Nick Richards. Mm-hmm. Finally giving him minutes. They mm-hmm. took 4 or 5 months to finally realize he's good enough to actually start, and he's been crushing.
No, it didn't take four. I want you to know it didn't take 4 or 5 months. It took trading Mason Plumlee and then Mark Williams getting injured. Because if Mark Williams is playing, Nick Richards still wouldn't be getting minutes.
I've
like
been
that.
Praising Richards for months, and now he's finally playing, and he's walking into like 14-12 every game. And now they're like, this Nick Richards guy's pretty good. It's like, yes, I was aware of that.
I cashed his double-double on Monday. I believe that was Monday.
Price when on we,
it was 215. 215. Was it Monday? That might have been Bob. It was one day recently on this show that I cashed Nick Richards.
He's the only center they have. And Dallas has no centers.
And he's athletic as fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's super easy. Nick Richards double-double. No whenever they, him, whenever they drop it, whenever they drop it, just take it. All right. Yeah, Charlotte plus 14.5, Nick Richards double-double, total, I really don't care.
I think I'm going to lean over. The only argument that I really have for the over is if I think Charlotte keeps it competitive, I'm not suddenly going to expect Charlotte to play defense. I'm just hoping Dallas doesn't guard anybody either, and you get a bit of a track meet on your hands. So I'm going to lean to the over. I think it's correlated. I think if Dallas wins, the game goes on. If Dallas covers somehow, the game goes under. Because, I mean, Charlotte just no-showed the game offensively. But if it goes over, that means Charlotte actually does their part. So I think it's correlated. I'll lean to Charlotte in the over.
All right. Somebody said Jaden Hardy's points. You got to wait and see that injury report and see what they do with Kyrie and Tim Hardaway Jr. Because Jason Kidd has pretty much said that, yeah, Hardy, you're only getting minutes when like a bunch of guys are out. Like, he doesn't get any type of minutes or usage when these guys play. Like, his minutes go from 25 to 5 very, very quickly when players are in the lineup. So you got to be careful. But I do like Hardy as a player. If people are out, then I will definitely be on Hardy points.
And JR, I got bad news for you. We didn't forget about Dwight Powell. We just didn't mention Dwight
Who?
There's a difference, you know?
Who?
That guy who takes all the minutes away from Christian Wood.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Screw him. All right. We are about to go ahead and cut here for part two of the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast version, just slide over to part two. If you're on YouTube, hang tight. We are coming right back.
Basketball.